which I can't tell you about, I'm not allowed to. The Baptist Union, on advice they've been given, will, unless it's opposed, strike me off their list of ministers. Many of the accusations are very, very false, and I've taken the report from the Baptist Union to my solicitors, and we're dealing with that. If I just tell you that one of the things was that I saw someone in 2021 that I haven't seen for 3 or 4 years. So I was supposed to have told him things I shouldn't in April, May this year. No, haven't seen him for years. But they've got a written statement by someone. So the solicitors are going to demand to see that statement and have the person named that signed it. Because it's utterly false. I can't say any more than that. But my proposal is that after the solicitors have dealt with it all, if it does not go in our favour, then the proposal is that we come out of the Baptist Union, because they don't want your minister. We are supporting the Baptist Union, the Baptist Missionary Society, with finance. And there are those of us who feel that it's not good. One thing I can tell you, which has nothing to do with my situation, but those of you that remember Neil, he was accused of abusing a young lady of 25. Her parents are members of Neil's church, great supporters of him and Cat. But their daughter seems to have had a crush on him, and because, of course, he wouldn't do anything, she's made this report. It has been found now that there is no evidence, and he has been exonerated, but he is still on the suspension list. The church can't know what's happened, except that he's been suspended. And I don't think that's the right way for the union to work. Well, safeguarding is good because it protects people, and I'm all for it, but it can be obviously misused. And the Baptist Union's version of it, well, you've got my incident, you've got Neil's incident, two completely different ones. I haven't abused anybody. That's where we're at. So my proposal that I would like it actually proposed, not by me, but by one of you and then seconded, is that if and when the Baptist Union go forward with their proposal against me and in a sense against the church, because the person making the accusation has said that we're not very friendly to her because of me, that you're supporting me and not her. So I can't say any more, but my proposal is that if and when the Baptist Union keep to their report and want to put it into action, that we would have already proposed that when that happens, we will come out of the Baptist Union. Incidentally, we are members of the Evangelical Alliance, and we are members of Christians in to obey. So, and of course we're well respected by many of the ministers in Torbay. I mean, I've worked with Ian Williams, we were both trustees. He's from Riviera Life, the senior pastor. So in that sense, we've got a lot of support. But I reckon the devil's at work. We've now got a council that are willing to give us a piece of ground to have our own premises. That's wonderful. But we seem to be being attacked. And so that's the reason for the proposal. I gather, Bruce, you're willing to propose it.
It's not the first time she's done this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. If I don't, it would be last. But we've taken this to the nth degree. It's just sour grapes. Mm-hmm. It really is the way she's behaving. So yes, I've got no problem coming out of the Baptist Union. So that, to me, this brings in the whole of the Baptist Union to disrepute. Because it's not behaving like a Christian.
Right.
You should listen to both sides and make mm-hmm. a fair judgment. They're not.
No. What they've done is listen to the safeguarding person and accept it. And accepted everything that the accuser has said.
But anyway.
Right, can it be seconded? Right. Those in favour, those in favour, really unanimous. I will. Right, thank you very much. We're going to start our worship. Surely it is, isn't it? Said you can sing as loud as you like today because they're not open. And the first one, Jesus, stand among us at the meeting of our lives. Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for all that you do. You are the one true and only living God. One God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And Lord, we've seen you work in wonderful ways. And Lord, although at times we may be disappointed, we want to thank you for the way that our own Torbay Council has decided to support us and give us a piece of ground. Lord, we rejoice at this, and we want to continue serving you and serving the people that come to us. This new place would mean we can do much more work among children, among young people, among elderly people. Not just meeting here on a Sunday, but throughout the week. And Lord, we know that within the Willows, there are many people who would be willing to volunteer in work of that nature. They may not come here on a Sunday, but who knows what will happen when they start helping us. For you are a wonderful and loving God. And as we work together, I believe more and more people will come to faith in you, Lord. So, Lord, be with us, be with our families and friends, be with those who want to harm us. Lord, do not let the devil have his way, but let us triumph over all that is false. Let us be honest. Let us be clear in what we know, what we believe. And Lord, we pray not only for ourselves and for the church, but we pray for the world at large. Be with all in authority. Be with all who nurse the sick, all those who help the unfortunate, whatever their problem is. Lord, we thank you for all the work that is being done in our country and in the wider world to help people in need. And we pray, Lord, that that work will continue. And we ask you to strengthen all the people that are helping others, both here in this locality, in this country, and in the world in general. Lord, we pray that you would continue to hear our own private prayers. When we pray to you at home, when we pray to you each day, we may pray to you, Lord, while we're out. But Lord, you're there always to hear our prayers. And we want to thank you for the privilege and the power of prayer. Walking with you, Lord, we cannot lose. For with you, all things are possible. So Lord, have your way in your world. Have your way in our country. Have your way in the church at large. Have your way in this church. Have your way here in the Willows and in the communities which we live ourselves. Lord, may we know your love, your guidance, and your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I think it's the Bible reading. I'd forgotten to ask anybody to do it, and so this morning I said, oh, Eunice, will you do it for me?
So our reading comes from Luke 22. Now the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But he replied, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you without purse, bag or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. He said to them, "But now, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.' And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment." The disciples said, "See, Lord, here are two swords." "That's enough," he replied.
Next song, one of the old ones. "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross." You will notice that I've called the message the greatest supper. And there are 3 points taken from the reading that we had. The first point is before the supper there was preparation. The religious leaders prepared for what? They prepared for a crime, but Jesus prepared for the Passover. When we come to communion, we should be prepared in our minds. We should take it seriously and remember that it was Jesus who said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So number one, there was preparation. Do we prepare when we come to communion? Do we prepare in our service for God? God gives us so many opportunities to help other people, and you never know what might result from that kind of service. So number two, during the supper, there was what I've called revelation. What was revealed? Well, first and foremost, Jesus revealed his love. One way we know this is because he knelt down and he washed the feet of his disciples. Jesus, he didn't come to be served, but to serve, but to show his love for his disciples. He actually bent down, took a cloth and washed their feet. Jesus also revealed the presence of treachery. He informed his disciples that they would come and they would take him away. He also revealed the disciples' own worldliness. They were arguing among themselves who was the greatest. And true greatness, my friends, means that we should be more and more like Jesus. And of course, Jesus also revealed that Peter was going to deny him. Must have been a bit embarrassing for Peter in front of the other disciples. And yet we know that it happened. And what a warning that is to us. I've probably told you this before and I'm ashamed of it, but when in the barber shop in Uxbridge in London, there was a lot of swearing and dirty jokes being told. And suddenly my barber turned around and said, "Bruce, what do you do?" And I thought for a second. And I said, "Community work." I should have said, "I'm leader of a church. I'm a Christian." But I was so overtaken by the filth in that place. But that means I denied the Lord. It's easy for us in some ways to deny that we know the Lord, or easy for us not to stick up for the Lord when we hear him being criticized. So there was preparation, there was the revelation of Jesus's love, the fact that treachery was going to happen, the worldliness of the disciples, and the denial of Peter. Thirdly and finally, after the supper, there was what I've called commemoration. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So, when we come to the table, we look back, we proclaim Jesus' death, and we're told to do this until he returns. And we're also supposed to be looking at the present time. We break bread, we drink wine because of what Jesus has done for us. And that means that if we know and love Jesus, and if we take the supper as he has requested, then we are definitely his sons and his daughters. So, we do it in remembrance of Jesus, but we're also looking forward. We're looking forward, or we should be, to the unity of the church. You know, I often pray that one day the church will be united. And every time there is division within a church or within groups of Christians, that is not honoring Jesus or his work. We are to look forward to the unity of Jesus. And you know, when we break bread, they used to break it from one loaf, and that symbolized complete unity. That is what Jesus wanted, unity among those who loved him. Tremendous what Jesus did for us on the cross. We dare not surely forget. He said, as often as ye eat bread and drink wine, do this in remembrance of me. And so we seek, don't we, to be faithful to that request. Thank you. And now, the hymn we're going to sing, Sarah, this reminds me of your dad, because it was one that he loved, wasn't it? When I survey the wondrous cross.
On which the prince of
So we come to celebrate what is known as communion or the Lord's Supper. We come in remembrance of what Jesus has achieved for us. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this bread and for this wine. These are just symbols of the precious body and blood of Jesus that was given so freely for us. And so, Lord, as we take the bread and wine now, we pray that we might remember with all the thankfulness that we can what Jesus has done for us and what Jesus means to us today. Jesus, who died on the cross, but who rose again and is the risen Lord, who, as promised, sent the Spirit to live within all who truly believe. We thank you, Lord, for all that this table reminds us of. In your name we pray. Amen. So Jesus took the bread, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you." This, said Jesus, "do in remembrance of me." And then we're told Jesus also took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This," said Jesus, "do in remembrance of me." And as you know, we retain the cup so that we can all serve together. Jesus died to deal with our sins. He rose again to give us new life. What a wonderful thing it is that Jesus did. He suffered. The Lord Jesus suffered for us. Let us be thankful. We love you, Lord Jesus, but help us to love you more. Amen. And we close with one of the new ones that I know, I think probably all of you love. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. See what Bruce has put at the bottom. You will begin to heal when you let go of past hurts, forgive those who have wronged you, and learn to forgive yourself for your mistakes. Quite a challenge, isn't it? Can we join hands and say the grace together, please? There we are. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.